May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. It is the age-old question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why did my mother's friend, Joy, who was always doing things for other people, die of bone cancer? Why did my friend's six-week-old baby die of SIDS? Why did that poor man in Sefner this week die in the sinkhole? It is the age-old question. And so they asked Jesus, why do bad things happen? Is it because the people involved had done something wrong? Is it a judgment from God? Were their sins worse than other people's sins? And Jesus says, no. These people did not suffer because their sin was greater. That is not how God's judgment works. God's judgment and God's mercy work together. And unless you repent, Jesus tells us, you will perish as they did. We are in the midst of Lent, and Lent is about repentance. Alan Jones says that repentance is admitting that we are on a road leading nowhere. Today's gospel is a call to repentance. In fact, the entire gospel of Luke, according to scholars, the good news of Luke's gospel is repentance, that if we repent, we will receive forgiveness of our sins. But in order to repent, it helps to realize that we are all in this together. That's what Jesus told the folks who were concerned about why bad things were happening. Alan Jones, in his book Soul Making, writes that to repent, we need to cultivate a kind of double vision. We need to be able to see at one and the same time the glory to which we are called and the distance that we have fallen from that glory at the same time. In other words, we need to be able to see ourselves as God sees us, as beloved children who are becoming what God intended us to become, with all of our limitations and weaknesses and faults that get in the way of our growth. If we get stuck looking only at one side or the other, we won't be able to repent. We will either think that we have nothing to repent of, or we won't believe that God really forgives our sins. Jesus knew all about how we humans get stuck. So Jesus told them and us, a parable about how God is always giving us a second chance. In this parable, for the third year in a row, the fig tree is not bearing fruit. The owner has lost his patience, and he just wants to cut it down and get rid of it. But the gardener intercedes on behalf of the fig tree, and the fig tree gets a second chance. The gardener promises to dig around the roots and nourish the tree with rich fertilizer, manure, so it will have a good chance of bearing fruit. Now, sometimes we have hard, barren soil around our roots, like the hard, barren soil around the roots of the fig tree, which prevented it from bearing fruit. Sometimes our holding on to our illusion of control and perfection can keep God from watering and nourishing our souls. There's enormous pressure in this culture for us to be always in control, or at least pretend to be. And there's a lot of pressure in this culture for us to be perfect, or at least pretend to be. There is enormous pressure in this culture for us not to admit our pain and weaknesses and the places where we are broken. Sometimes we can't even admit to ourselves that we're not perfect. Sometimes we can't even share our brokenness with those people who are closest to us. Is it any wonder then that some of us keep up this pretense even in our relationship with God? Many of us spend lots of energy keeping this illusion of control firmly in place, not realizing that we are effectively shutting God out of our lives. Or it may be the other way around. Maybe we are stuck on the other side and can only see our own failures. Maybe we can't see how God is calling us to grow. In that case, our inability to accept God's forgiveness may be the hard soil that keeps us from accepting the full nourishment of our souls. God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us, but sometimes we give up on God. If we don't know that we need help, if we don't ask God for help, or if we refuse God's help because we feel unworthy, we may miss the ways that God is trying to break into our lives. Today's collect is a wonderful prayer for Lent and for this gospel. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Now, many Christians throughout the ages have written about their experiences of repentance, of turning to God. One of the most famous is Saint Augustine, the great 4th century bishop and theologian, who for the first part of his life lived completely outside the church, running away from God's call. And he knew that he was running away from God's call the whole time. And his mother Monica was praying and praying and praying with tears and tears and tears. And in his confessions, he writes about his first real repentance. I probed the hidden depths of my soul and wrung its pitiful secrets from it. And when I mustered them all before the eyes of my heart, a great storm broke within me, bringing with it a great deluge of tears. Somehow I flung myself down beneath a fig tree and gave way to the tears which now streamed from my eyes, the sacrifice that is acceptable to you, God. In my misery, I kept crying, how long shall I go on saying tomorrow, tomorrow? Why not now? Well, Augustine finally stopped running away from God and turned towards God and began a passionate relationship with God that continued to nourish his soul. When we encounter our brokenness, when something happens that stops us in our tracks, when we finally know in our bones that we cannot even love another person fully without God's help, then we are ready to repent. And this doesn't just happen once in our lives. It happens over and over and over. Maybe it is a broken relationship that gets our attention, or our first great failure at school or at work, or maybe it is our inability to forgive someone else that leads us to repentance. Whatever it is, when we acknowledge our weaknesses and our failures as opportunities to turn to God, they may in fact become our greatest strength. Where are those places in our lives where we are stuck, dried out, feeling useless? We don't even have to know exactly. All we have to do is invite God in. God is just waiting for an invitation. Christ, the master gardener, is longing to dig around our roots, water us with his tears, and nourish our souls with the richness of love. Then the fruit we will bear will bring love, hope, and compassion to ourselves and to the broken world around us. Amen.
Amen.